welcome once again, friends, to another broadcast of Sold Out for Jesus. This is Pastor Paul Tabano of Harvest Church in Clifton Park, New York, and I'm so glad you have decided to share this time with us. I pray today's program will be life-changing as you listen to the uncompromised Word of God. Now let's join a service already in progress.
I'm going to start over here with verse 14 of the 8th chapter of Romans. I just want to go over there and finish a few verses. For all those who are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. Verse 15. For the Spirit which you have now received is not a spirit of slavery to put you once more in bondage to fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption, the Spirit producing sonship. We've been adopted into the family of God. Isn't that good news? Say adopted. Man, listen now. 17th verse. And if we are his children, then we are his heirs also. What's an heir? One who inherits something. If you're an heir to something, what do you do with that? Man, I'd start using it right away. I'm an heir of the love of God. What do? I start using God's love everywhere in any way I can. Amen? I love to find the grumpiest people and get God's love into them. I look for somebody with the sour face who hasn't smiled in years. If they did, everything would crack. You understand that? My wife says, I don't know how you do it. I get everybody to talk to me because that's my mission in life, to open them up so I can give them the precious word of God. Somebody holds the door open for you. God bless you, sir. I appreciate that. What'd you say? I said, God bless you. Why would you say that? Because God's blessed me and I want you to be blessed by God. Ugh. So what do? Well, I'll go back in the store and buy something else and get them at the register. I'm not letting up on people. I may be the only contact they have with a believer. Hallelujah. I'm going to get everybody I can. Listen, I want you to think about this. I'm still in John. How many of you know that? Jesus gave an assignment to his disciples. What was it? He gave them one assignment. Go into all the world. Preach about me. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son. That was their assignment after 3.5 years of teaching. What's your assignment? What's my assignment? To get the good news of the gospel out. When you go on the job, people are looking. They know you're a believer. They're waiting for you to make a mistake. But you won't make a mistake because the love of God is in you, and everything you do and say and put your hands to has the earmark of the love of God. They may never say anything to you, but they're watching. And if they'll go to another place and don't see you again, they've got the message of the gospel of Christ's love on the, because they see how you handle things. They see when they get the same memo you did or the same email, they see your reaction to it and they see you kind of going like this. They're praying over the memo? Oh my God, I shredded mine. Are you kidding me? How many of you ever got a parking ticket? Have you ever had this thought come to me? Let me put it on somebody else's windshield. How many of you ever thought that? Just raise your hand. But that's a thought that comes because in the natural, like, I don't deserve this ticket. But then what happens? Wait a minute. That's not a thing I should do as a believer. It's wrong. Say it's wrong. Then the Holy Ghost pulls you back and say, no, you can take the ticket and you can go fight it. You can explain to a judge, but you can't put this on somebody else. That's wrong. See, the Holy Spirit in us says, that's wrong. This is right. You can speak out of your mouth and decree that God will give you favor before the judge. I remember I got a speeding ticket. Don't you laugh now. My wife was with me. I was traveling from Pennsylvania to New York City every weekend. I think it was I-78 I was going to get into the city from Pennsylvania. And I had my old Volkswagen Fastback, had a Porsche engine in it. It was a cool car, man. And a tractor trailer started moving over. So I got on this thing because I had a nice Porsche engine. Went flying by him. And who's on the other side with a radar gun? Sure enough, write me a warrant ticket. I had to go see the judge. I explained to the judge where I was going. I explained the circumstances of how the truck was pulling over, and I was in his blind spot. So I explained it to the judge, and he said, where were you going, Reverend? I said, I was on my way to the Bronx. I work with kids in the inner city. He said, why don't you say something? Because I was speeding. I explained that to the officer. I told him why. He said, no problem. He said, no ticket because you are going to do something good. Glory to God. Say, I'm an heir. I have God's favor on my life. All right, you ready? Let's go a little further. Can we go? 17th verse. Then we are his heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, sharing his inheritance with him. Only we must share his suffering if we are to share his glory. See, sometimes the Bible talks about in the last days, there'll be persecution. Today, we can see the culture changing away from godliness over to something that's far from it. And the believer is going to get what? Persecuted for what you and I believe. They're suffering in that because if we say, you know what? I'm not changing my stance. I'm a believer. God loves everyone, but I'm going to stand by what the Word of God says. Persecution will come your way and my way. You understand that? But we share in his suffering. Was he persecuted? Hallelujah. But you and I share in that because, as Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why wasn't he ashamed? Life. What else is it? Power. It's salvation unto man. I can't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But what if people laugh and scorn and make... It doesn't matter. They spit upon Jesus. They laughed at him. Listen to me. I sometimes get persecution from other pastors because what I'm doing is not the way I should be doing it today. It's old fashioned. Get rid of your suit and tie and just wear a nice little shirt and, you know, wear a pair of shorts and sandals and be like Jesus. I got into the ministry and heard a man say this in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And it's always thrusted me every time I kind of like say, oh, what do I do now, God? Listen, it's a saying I shared with you before. He started out his message like this. If God calls you into the ministry, don't you ever settle to be a king or a president. It stopped me cold in my tracks, and I was in college at the time. I heard that, and it so stuck in my spirit that no matter what I did in life, no matter what place I come to of being seen by many, liked or disliked, there was no greater calling than to share the good news of Jesus Christ with a lost and dying world. And can I say this? There are more people lost and dying today than ever before in my lifetime. Jesus is coming back. I'm telling you, it's the blessed hope of the church. But in the meantime, the church can't be quiet. The church cannot stop speaking the good news of Christ. And we may suffer persecution for it. So be it. So be it. I'm still going to proclaim, and you're going to proclaim, the good news of Christ. Come on, thank you. Thank him for it. Yell a lot. I'm an heir of everything God has for me. Look at 18. But what of that? For I consider that the suffering of this present time, this present life, listen to this now, are not worth being compared with the glory that is about to be revealed to us. Say, revealed to me and in me and for me and conferred on me. Glory to God. Can I read that again? When I say this, instead of saying us, say your name right in there. Are you ready? My God. Revealed to, in, for, and conferred on me. My God. Aren't you happy? Say, I'm happy today. Why? I've just found out that God isn't giving me a sonship. He's given me something that I couldn't get any other way. Are you ready? Now, can I go back, if you don't mind, to Hebrews? Hallelujah. Are you ready? Chapter 4. Are you ready? Listen to it. I'm in the Amplified. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still holds, it's offered today. Let us be afraid to distrust it. Now, here's a question I want to ask you and something I want to share with you. What does it mean when it says rest? The woman in Mark 5 came to a place of rest. How did that happen? She came to a place where she started saying something that was opposite to what she was experiencing. You understand that? I like the chapters that just before they said, a certain woman. And I looked up certain, it means a whosoever. What does John 3:16 say? Whosoever. See, you and I are whosoevers with names. We're a whosoever in the world, but whosoevers are children of the King, and we have names. When I say three, yell your name out. Ready? One, two, three. There you go. God knew you and I before we were. He spoke about the prophet, I knew you before you were in your mother's womb. But I'm illegitimate. No, you're not. Every baby is legitimate in the eyes of God. Because you came away that may not be, quote, shall I say, the norm according to God. If you breathe air, if you're in a mother's womb, then you're a child of God. You're an heir to the kingdom of God. Don't gobble what the world is saying and accept it as the word. Everything that's political and has a political aspect to it is not the truth. God's word is true. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Glory to God. Let me give you the definition of rest. Can I do that? You and I cannot have rest to enter into, because any rest that we manufacture is done by the flesh. But if we have rest according to God, and we have rest by His Spirit, it's a rest that will be maintained and a rest that will always be there. How many of you know you ever bought something new, and then what happens to it? It gets old. Then we're looking for something. You get a big TV, and then a bigger one comes out. But how many of you know you'll never be satisfied always looking for something new? When Paul spoke at Mars Hill, he found people that were looking for a new thing. If we follow the flesh, we'll always be striving or wanting something new. It will always leave us hungry. But if you can get rest in the life of your spirit and my spirit, we will never be famished. We'll never be hungry. We'll be satisfied from one day to the next day to the next day without a hunger and a desire to get things. Life in the spirit. Say life in the spirit. Now here, you want to write these four things down. Here's what rest means out of the Greek language. Freedom from anything that tires. How many times have we tried to manufacture something and we get tired trying to do it? Rest from anything that tires. Listen, two more words. Troubles us or disturbs us. Whose rest? God's rest. What does that mean, God's rest? That means, God, I'm trusting you. I'm trusting your word that what it says has already been done. Remember when Jesus said it's finished? What does that mean? It's a done deal in the Greek language. What does that mean? Every promise that's ever come forth out of the word of God or the mouth of God has already been done. It's promised. It's already been fulfilled. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Say freedom. How many of us want to be free? When we do things instead of doing it God's way, our way, do we get tired? Do we feel troubled? Do we get disturbed? All right. Here's the next one. To be free from care and worry and anxiety. Now, what scripture comes into your mind right away in your spirit? Cast all your cares upon the Lord. Be anxious for means worry about. See, the first place we should go is never worry because it's bigger than us. It's that mountain. But we say what God's word said. Well, I can't think of anything. Jewish men used to actually wear the scriptures with a band around their head. We have it in our hearts today. We don't have a heart of stone, but a flesh. Keep the word fresh on the inside of us and speak it at the appropriate time the Spirit speaks for us to say it. Say life in the Spirit. To the best of my ability, I live my life by the Spirit. There are times that I mess up so bad. The only one that knows it is the Holy Ghost in my way. Said, all right, what'd you do? Now, the third word for peace. This is a good one now. This is a hard one. Are you ready? To have peace. Remember, you have peace with God when Christ comes in. Then on a daily basis, what's available for you and I? The peace of God, free from worry, say it, anxiety, gives us His peace. Now, listen to the last one now. To rely and trust and depend on someone. I am totally and completely dependent on this book and on Jesus. Amen? Say His rest.
This is Pastor Carolyn Tabano. I hope you've enjoyed today's broadcast of Sold Out for Jesus. If today's program has encouraged you and you would like to become a partner with this ministry, please send all correspondence and financial contributions to Harvest Church, 303 Grooms Road, Clifton Park, New York, 12065. If you'd like to download today's message and view our complete media library, or if you'd like to know more about this ministry, you can find us at soldoutforjesus.com. Until next time, remember that you too can be sold out for Jesus because Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive.